because I turned 45 3 weeks after the games, so I miss out by 3 weeks, so I'm like literally the oldest. So I was like, oh, let's have this year off. And he said, no, he said, let's see if you can get back there and do like 5 continuous years. He said, because no one else has done that master's wise.
What's up, guys? It's Tom from Chalking Fitness. Thanks very much for tuning into the podcast. If you're not already, please do follow Chalking Fitness on Instagram, at Chalking Fitness, where you'll come across loads of news and content relevant to the UK-centric CrossFit and functional fitness community. But for now, do sit back, listen up, and enjoy this episode. What's up, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the Chalking Fitness podcast. I love speaking to members of the community from around the UK, whether they be coaches, athletes, box owners. And today, love that I'll get to speak to another master's athlete, a parent, a box owner, a coach, and someone who's returning to the games, I believe, for the fourth time now. And this time as the defending champion of their 40 to 44 division. And if you've not guessed who that is yet, I'm delighted to be welcoming Kelly Friel to the podcast. Kelly, welcome.
Thank you for inviting me on.
It's an absolute pleasure. And as alongside the podcast, I do try to do my best to kind of spotlight the kind of endeavors of the community on various leaderboards and competition floors. And you're someone who is someone's name I've written and seen on leaderboards many times. So it's an absolute pleasure to welcome you to the podcast. I'm sure there's plenty we can talk about, past and present.
I feel very honored.
So before we do that, obviously, regardless of what role we play within the community, a good warm-up is always necessary. And so I do want to start with a quick couple of warm-up questions. And the first one I always default to is asking my guests, if they were allowed to design their own birthday workout, what are the three movements they'd choose?
Oh, three movements. So I would have to say a thruster. I love a thruster, but then again, I love a squat as well. But let's stay with a thruster. A thruster, love a rope climb. And I would chuck in the mix as well, an assault bike.
Oh
yeah,
that's definitely fruity. You know, the legs what sort of weight are you wanting, like a moderate barbell for the thruster then, if you're on the you want big sets to kind of nicely complement, or should I say kind of like conflict with the assault bike?
Yeah, I would say most probably like 35 kilos.
Mm-hmm.
They're relatively light to sort of keep that barbell moving.
Yeah. Oh, brilliant. And then like within rope climbs, I've not had the opportunity to head down to CrossFit Southampton, but like are you a box with, I feel like the photos I've seen and things, you good old warehouse, plenty of headspace for rope climbs, right?
Plenty of headspace, yeah. So our ropes pretty much go just above 15 foot, so nearly about 16 foot. If we most probably wanted them higher, we could most probably attach one, but yeah, I think we've got, off the top of my head, about 12 ropes. So we can generally use them as the good sort of workout, basically, for our members. So everyone at CrossFit Southampton is a pretty good rope climber, I would say.
That's amazing. To have 12 ropes, it allows you, say, to incorporate it into your kind of like your box programming, right? The class programming. So it's not something that is, only a few people will swing around on, in open gym. You can really incorporate it, which I'm sure many that have kind of been involved in the methodology for as long as you will kind of thoroughly approve of.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. What about with 12? Can you swing from one to another? I mean, is that a thing?
Do you know what you can do? You remember gladiators hanging tough when you used to swing? My brother was in the box one day and he attempted it, and it was quite funny because he swung, and because he didn't really get much of a swing, he all of a sudden went boink, and I was like, okay, no more. But you potentially could, but we have got pillars in the way of like between five, so you could go through five, but yeah.
Yeah, you add it to the box rules, don't you? You know, leave your ego at the door. Also, no swinging like gladiators from the ropes.
Yeah.
Good stuff. The second question I've got for you is around music. Now, obviously, as a kind of owner and I guess coaching at CrossFit Southampton as well, like, how has the music dynamic worked there? Is that something that's are the members given kind of like a first request, or is it more something that you do you rule the DJ deck as much as the leaderboard?
No, we definitely don't rule the DJ, I would say. Sometimes it'll feel like, oh guys, what do you want on today? And it can be like, oh, can we have some like 90s or banger mix or something like that? And then other times it's like, oh no, we want some hardcore rap. So it's a bit, I think it just depends who's in the class and, you know, if it's a Friday night or a Monday morning. Generally we'll sort of like put it out there and go, come on then. Otherwise we'll just go, right, we'll put something on. But you know, it's like when you've got a playlist, you go to that playlist and sometimes you just want a new playlist.
Yeah. Yeah. A change is as good as a rest, right?
Yeah.
So the other question I was going to ask, recognizing, and we've said just before we hit record, we're maybe 5 weeks away from the games and you're making a return to the games, is like, does your music tend to change through the year? Like, you know, now you're looking into that final kind of preparations, as like, do you find yourself attracted to listening to a certain type of music more than others, or is it more reflective of the type of training you're doing rather than the time of year?
I would say most probably the type of training rather than the time of year. My music change doesn't happen like leading up to the games or anything like that. Sometimes if I'm doing some accessory work, I'll have something a bit more like chilled, but then again sometimes when I'm lifting I'm like, oh, I'll have something a bit chilled rather than like real hard banging music or something like that.
Yeah, kind of make sure you kind of focus on the positional work then, right?
Yeah.
Oh, brilliant. Well, there we go. Never want to skip the warm-up. So there we go. Especially for us masters athletes, it's important.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Warm-up is hugely important.
So moving on then, like I say, loads of stuff we can talk about, kind of like seasons past and present. Having a quick look at kind of, I always like to have a look at the bio on whether it be an affiliate website or crossfit.com is another good one. Your first open was like 2013, but like using CrossFit as a training methodology, as a CrossFit trainer, an affiliate owner, and then like, you know, a very competitive athlete, like the sport is so young, like how do they fit together chronologically? I mean, I could say how do they fit together in terms of fitting them into the day, right? But we'll get onto that. But in terms of kind of like time, did you kind of initially get into CrossFit just for training? I mean, how quickly was it like, God, I like the competitive side of this too?
I think it was pretty early on because I came from a normal gym. And then the day I stepped into the CrossFit box, I was like, oh my God, I absolutely love this. But more from a training perspective, it was just like a lot more fun than what I was doing in just like your standard Globo gym. And then my first ever comp was the Battle of London, which was at Brunel University. Mm-hmm. I don't know, and that was back in like 2012, at the end of 2012 or 13, and I was like, I have no idea what I'm doing, but let's just go and have some fun. And I remember going there and there were some big names who I had no idea who they were at the time, like Sam Briggs, Katrin, Stephen Fawcett was there, my coach now Andy Edwards was there, Andrea Ager, do you remember her name back in
name
the day?
Bell, yeah.
Yeah, so there was a few, and then I turned up and I was like, oh my God, what have I let myself in for? Because I was just like, I had, you know, just learned how to snatch a barbell, just learned how to clean. And when I look back on my videos, I'm just like, oh wow, that's where I started. But I think it was then when I thought, oh, this could be a bit more competitive. And just thought, oh, let's give a competition a go and see how we get on.
Oh, Awesome. And then when did kind of CrossFit Southampton come into the mix? Was that I wasn't able to find beforehand doing my research when you opened CrossFit Southampton.
So that was the first box that I went to. So a friend of mine opened it.
I got you.
Yeah, in a different location than what we are now. Mm-hmm. So he opened it, and then about a year later we moved location, and then that's when I got involved with CrossFit Southampton. Yeah. But yes, that's my first ever box that I've ever been to.
Ah, there you go, through and through.
Yeah.
Yeah, and one of the things, and I think especially with kind of like age group athletes, I include myself in this, like, is, are you coach at CrossFit Southampton as well? Is it something that you do full time? Or is it, are you balancing that? Obviously there's other life responsibilities, but yeah. Are you balancing it with other kind of like professional responsibilities as well?
So I'm the co-owner there as well with two others. And then so two of us do like the coaching, and then the other one does like the admin side mm-hmm. of things. So one doesn't coach. So we split our sort of roles between us. And then I'm also a sports massage therapist. Mm-hmm. So I do that from the box as well. And then like all the intros and new people coming through, I split that again with my partner. So then we do all that. And then obviously balance it with home life.
Yeah. And I've decided to kind of start being more explicit in asking those questions, because I think we're seeing more and more now, like, athletes aspiring to get to the games, maybe in their early 20s and stuff, going all in inverted commas, recognize it's a podcast. Yeah. So they can't necessarily see me doing it. And so, but there's equally just a whole wealth of kind of others, whether they be age group athletes or not, and just like where a methodology becomes a passion, becomes a lifestyle, and then you are then trying to spin plates with home life, professional life. And I think more and more there's those who have like find synergies between the two, right? Into like that, well, and the family are going to enjoy CrossFit as well, so that's yeah. one way of doing it. But equally, whether it be a sports massage therapist, or you can kind of like co-locate those pieces of work, but it's definitely more than not having to do that type of thing.
Yes.
The question I was going to ask around that was, you went to regionals in 2013, which was like your first kind of year in the open as well, so and you brought a degree of athleticism from like a Globo gym before that. You mentioned things like rope climbs and thrusters. Like, did you find that you were able to pick up some of the more higher skill movements quite quickly? Because that can often be a barrier or a concern for some, is that CrossFit as a methodology and a sport will have higher skill movements. Did you kind of take to those quite easily in reflection?
I think things like thrusters and rope climbs, that sort of come quite naturally, if I put it that way. The more gymnastics, I would say, so as everyone knows, my ring muscle-ups are my biggest nemesis, and bar muscle-ups. So they were the big things that have taken a long, long time to learn. And I guess along with weightlifting, you know, before I started CrossFit, I never knew what a snatch was or what a clean and jerk was. So all that was just new, but the thing that I loved about it is every day I was learning something mm-hmm. new, and like, oh my god, I still got this to learn and this to learn. But yeah, it never became boring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's something that keeps me coming back to the methodology, is like there's always something new to do, and equally always something to distract you from the stuff you're not very good at because of that, right? So you're yeah. like, oh, maybe I'll you know, at least for me, I guess, you know, as you get to the higher competitive levels. And we see that in every division, that you can't necessarily have a hole in your game anymore, because it very quickly can get found out. The other question I was going to ask around juggling it with other kind of responsibilities, and I'd already mentioned that some athletes kind of go all in. If you look back at your last kind of 9-10 years of kind of training and competing, do you look at any point and think there was a step change at that point where I started taking my training more seriously, like or is it just being kind of gradual?
No, I would say it's just been gradual, really, because ever since I started CrossFit, I've always had children. So Erin's the eldest, so she's 17. So if I think back like 10 years ago, she would have only been 7, and then Imogen would have only been 5. So really, through starting CrossFit, I've always had them. So it's not as though I've been able to go, right, mm-hmm. like you said, the younger ones, let's all go full in and give up everything. I've had to go, do you know what, let's try and balance this and this and see if it works, mm-hmm. Which it looks like it has in the past.
Yeah, it seems to be kind of continue to go well. And I think it's really interesting you make that point of always having kind of, as long as you've done CrossFit, you've had children as well. And I've became a father myself at the beginning of the year, and I recognize now that, like, I'm not just thinking about the effort, I'm thinking about the sacrifice, like, because time is always finite. So you're normally doing this or something else, and suddenly the priorities you have been like, well, I can't do that instead of this, because that really needs my help.
Yes. Yeah. 100%. Yeah. It's like, and just like, you know, like you said, just from becoming a father at the beginning of the year, things change. Mm-hmm. And like, the older they get, there's, you know, okay, they don't need you as much there, but then they need you more in that side. So it's like, yeah, all the plates to juggle.
Yeah. And yeah. Yeah. And then like, say, things are changing all the time. So it's not kind of like, oh, this happens and then it becomes the new normal. It's like the normal is always evolving. So you're just having to kind of stay, which that's CrossFit, right? You know, unknown and unknowable.
Exactly.
So kind of, again, like, looking a little bit back at previous seasons, in 2017, I think they introduced the 35 to 39 division. And that was then your first year as an age group athlete, and you were 39, I believe, at the time. So it was like it was your last year. I guess my question there is, like, obviously before that you'd been an individual athlete and you'd gone to regionals twice already in 2013, 2014. Had you got your competitive eye on age groups being something that you wanted to kind of really start to master? Excuse the pun.
Yeah, I think when I'd been to regionals a couple of times, you know, I got to a point where I was like, I'm never going to make it as an individual athlete. You know, unless you were to give up everything and maybe go in full-time training, who knows, back then, maybe, but I didn't really have that option. So I was like, oh, okay, let's have a focus and think, when I hit 40, that's going to be my goal, and go for age group. So then when I was 39, I was gutted. And when they went, yeah, we're bringing out a category this year, I was like, what? Why couldn't they have done that 4 years ago? So then that year, I still took part in the open in the 35 to 39, mm-hmm. but training had not dropped off a bit, but it wasn't sort of like a main focus, because I was focusing on the following year. So mm-hmm. then I just put all my focus and said, okay, from the 30 to 39, what was my weaknesses then? And then tried to build on them for the following year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no worries. And well, talking of the following year, 2018, and apologies in advance if I'm creating the wrong story from the data I can see, but you know, I'd do my best. But you know, you'd mentioned, oh, I'm not going to make it as an individual athlete, but you actually then requalified for regionals as an individual in 2018. So that year of not focusing on the season and focusing on being ready for the 40 to 44 division, not only saw you making your first trip to the games in the 40 to 44 division, but equally making it to regionals as an individual, and I guess as a 40-year-old. Now, Sam Briggs has had a lot of spotlight on her for being kind of at semifinals at 40. Like, for those two things to happen in the same year, now this might be a very difficult question, how do you view those achievements? How do they compare? Are you more proud of making it to regionals or making it to the games?
I guess in a way, very, very similar, because regionals, we never thought regionals was ever going to happen again. Mm-hmm. We thought, because of the, you know, the change in CrossFit and everything, they thought there wasn't going to be another one. And then when they released that, oh yeah, there was, I was like, oh, let's give it a shot and see how. And then when I qualified, I was like, oh my God, that wasn't in the plan. You know, my plan was to go to 40, for the 44. So then when I then got my invite to the games as a master, I was like, oh my God, do I go both? Do I not do both? And then I was like, everyone was saying you'd be mad if you don't do regionals, because it potentially is the last regionals that there could ever be. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of people were like, oh yeah, but then you could risk injury for the games. And I was like, yeah, but actually you could get injured in your own box. Do you know what you mean? And I was like, yeah. If I turned it down and then something happened and then I didn't go to the games, I'd kick myself. So I was like, do you know what? Let's go to regionals. Know that I've already punched my ticket to the games and just have fun. Mm-hmm. And it was one of the best experiences. Yeah. So much fun.
I never made the trip to any of the European regionals when we were in the regionals format. And it's something I think, kind of wish I'd just made prioritize that thing. I'd been doing CrossFit for a number of years, but for whatever reason, just never prioritized that kind of that trip. But yeah, a lot of people speak of them so highly. And I'd like to think we're starting, and maybe, you know, here's an extra question going off on a tangent. The European nature of semifinals, do you think that's kind of capturing that community aspect? Because I've heard some people say that is that because it's European based, it means you see the familiar faces that you used to see at regionals.
Yeah, definitely. Like, even I went to SID, I managed to sneak in on the Sunday because we're in London, and just seeing some old, you know, what I call OG faces and people like that, it was so nice. It was so good.
Yeah. Oh, brilliant. And long may that continue at, you know, locations around the Europe, right? Whether it be, you know, Lowlands, SID, French Throwdown, looked like it put on a great show this last weekend as well at the time of recording. So that's really cool. So 2018 was a time that you could do both, and that was your first trip to the games. You then went again. You've been every year there's been a Masters competition since then, because 2020 was the year that nothing other than kind of a few folk went to the ranch, I think, if I remember correctly.
I know, because I always go, well, technically this is my fifth year to the games, because we would have gone if because it was so that year, and it was quite disappointing from a master point of view. We had communication all the way up saying, yeah, you're going to have your, you know, masters, and we're all thinking, you know, all the masters are talking, going, I don't think this is going to go ahead with COVID, you know. Mm-hmm. And they're like, yeah. And then literally we wake up to, from memory, we woke up to a social media post saying that the masters weren't going to have a season, and it's been ended. And we were all so disappointed, because we were like, why couldn't they just send us an email first just to confirm and say, well done, it's obviously not going ahead, season's over. But yeah, so I, you know, that was the year where it all, yeah, a few people went to the ranch, which would have been a nice experience.
Yeah, kind of go, you know, Dave's backyard, quite literally. Yeah. So talking of that then, you know, this is something I was going to ask a bit later on, but there are many people that refer to, say, like 2018, which is like your first year at the games, as like the pinnacle of the sport. Because, you know, we had the last year of regionals, and it was the highest sign up in the Open. Now, there have been many things that have happened since then, not just within the CrossFit sphere, but within the kind of, you know, global pandemic and everything else. But and some feel that like that the structure is starting to find its way, right? We've had semifinals for 2 years running. But the Masters have sat alongside that, often with their own structure, right? You know, you thought you were going to have a 2020 Masters competition in some shape or form. And then things like the leader, like the number going to Madison this year has dropped from 20 to 10. As a Masters athlete, how do you look at the time from 2018 to now in terms of, has it followed the same pathway in terms of like, was 2018 a peak and it's still trying to find its way, or do you see it slightly differently from the Masters community?
So I went 2018 and there was 20 of us. And like you said, it was like high pinnacle, you know, the Masters. But that was the year the Masters had their own, if you say, like, venue at the games. So we weren't on the main stage. We went on the North Field, but we weren't in the Coliseum. Yeah. But there was 20 of us. And the way they run it is excellent. Like, you can't fault it. You feel really special. Mm-hmm. 2019, they then cut the field down to 10 that year. And that felt really different. Like, you know, everyone was like, oh, does that mean because they're cutting it down to 10, they're going to reduce masters completely and there won't be masters at the games anymore and teenagers? But, you know, everyone's getting older and everyone's following through. So that did have a real different feel about it. And then obviously COVID hit. Mm-hmm. Then last year, they changed it slightly around. They took it back to 20, which I was like, that's great. But they put us just before the individuals, mm-hmm. so that then we could go on the North Field, and we didn't have our own venue. So we weren't separated. Mm-hmm. So then we could go in the Coliseum. And that's the first time that since being at the Games that I had stepped foot in the Coliseum.
Wow. Yeah. It's easy to forget that, especially when we often are drawn to the individuals and forget that. Yeah, I'd forgotten that there was quite a separation in previous years.
Yeah. So walking out into the Coliseum last year, even though there wasn't many people there because the individuals hadn't kicked off, it was like, wow, this is pretty spectacular. I've never been out here before. So it felt like last year it was sort of heading back in the right direction again. Mm-hmm. And then obviously then this year they've cut it back down to 10. So it's like, we seem to make two steps forward and then a step back. And it's like, well, hopefully next year it's going to go back to 20.
Yeah. Yeah. You kind of hope that, and I guess they're still trying to work out their logistics really of like how to fit everything in. And it's great for them to give, they gave all divisions, adaptive and teams, that Coliseum experience. And I think it's really good to kind of like share that experience around and to kind of capitalize on the kind of crowds that pulls as well, even if it's in the years before. Because I got the impression watching remotely that you've got, you know, whilst the individuals hadn't kicked off yet, they've arrived for registration. So a lot of them then can like, you know, Team UK can rock up and support, right? Yeah. From the crowd.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're catching up on ourselves now, 2021, but that post kind of COVID, like, and, you know, we've already spoken about as a, you know, co-business owner and then coach, there were a lot of things which, and your own business were disrupted by kind of COVID. It must have been great to, well, be able to do both again, right? So individual semifinals, admittedly virtual, but as a masters athlete, you're kind of used to that type of thing. And then to kind of not only go to the games, experience the Coliseum, and then kind of finish on top of the podium as well.
Yeah. It was good to do this semi-finals last year. Cause again, I was like, after being at regionals in 2018, I was like, well, that's never going to happen again to qualify. And then when I did and it was virtual, I was like, no, because Nettie, who's qualified in the 35 to 39, we were both there in 2018.
Right. Okay.
By 2021. So we were like, we're the old school ones in there. And then it was all online, but it was, you know, it was fun to do it online. Some learning experience then to take with me to the games.
Yeah, no, definitely. And obviously last year, Nettie CrossFit Nidus was over in Madison. Kelly Marshall in your division was in Madison as well. And that's phenomenal to not only have the three of you and other masters athletes as well, Spencer, kind of like, how important is that kind of masters community, both home and now it's great to say abroad too, kind of like groups of you making the trip to Madison?
Yeah, I think it's great to see now like the UK flag actually in there, as before it was, you know, as we know, a lot of American flags, especially more in the masters. So to see that UK flag flying up there in different age groups and the teenagers, it's really good. Mm-hmm. Really, really good.
Brilliant. Let's talk this year then, because I know the season didn't start the way you'd hope with an ankle injury, if I kind of read social media correctly. So you obviously had won last year, and I've spoken to a number of like team athletes, especially around like, you know, you make that trip to the games and then it's like it's not the be all and end all, and obviously you've made it to the games multiple times, but then to finish on top of the podium, what was your original plan on managing expectations for this season before we start talking about kind of then getting the injury?
So I had a chat with my coach And I was like, oh, so this year I'm going to have off. And he was like, no. And I was like, well, yeah, because I'm going to be the oldest of my group because I turned 45 3 weeks after the games. Mm-hmm. So I miss out by 3 weeks. So I'm like literally the oldest. So I was like, oh, let's have this year off. And he said, no. He said, let's see if you can get back there and do like five continuous years. He said, because no one else has done that master's wise. And he said, and, you know, then you can see where you sit then for next year. So I was like, oh, okay, well, you know, we'll just see. And training was going really, really well. Just like enjoying being back at training. And the day I was training, my daughter Erin was training with me because she was still doing a bit of CrossFit at that point. Mm-hmm. And we were both on a toaster bar rig, like she was one end, I was the other. So I looked across and we were both watching the clock. And as I swung down to get jumped down, I twisted to look at the clock and my foot wasn't down. And literally my ankle bone hit the floor.
Oh,
I just literally was then just a sack on the floor. And I just thought, oh, my God, I've broken my foot. Mm. But at the time, Erin sort of laughed because she thought I had like just done a roly poly. So she's like, and I looked up and I was like, and she's like, so, and then, yeah, so I couldn't get up. And then I was like, I've done something.
Mm-hmm.
Went to the hospital that night, but because of COVID, the queues were out the door. So I said to my husband, I'm not even going to bother. Let's just go home. I'll ice it. I'll elevate it. And then had a really sleepless night. It swelled up. And then the following day I went back. And then had it x-rayed and yeah, it was just a bad sprain. They said I was very lucky. Mm-hmm. But then sometimes sprains are worse than a break because they can take longer to heal. Mm-hmm. So they were saying, oh, 6 to 8 weeks. And I think from memory, it was something like 5 weeks before the open, I think. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh. So yeah, not a great start, but with the rehab and stuff, I was just very sensible.
Yeah, and I suppose you, and this is not to kind of make it sound easy, but you'd already agreed with your coach. It's like it was a year of seeing what you can do, and that remained the same, but just probably with a lot bigger caveat on top with the kind of like injury rehab to do alongside that.
Yeah, I mean, part of me in my head was like, maybe this year is not meant to be. Maybe it was supposed to be my year off. You know, when you start thinking like that, you're like, maybe it is. Maybe someone's trying to say, yeah, let's not go this year. So yeah, and then did the open and just did what I can.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of like the rehab, like as a sports massage therapist, do you find that is a help or a hindrance? Like, are you find yourself being impatient, more conservative, or do you have to almost like try and seek out someone else to kind of, you know, try to kind of almost compartmentalize as a patient in that situation?
Yeah, so I'm pretty sensible. If someone tells me don't do this because it's potentially going to make it worse, then, you know, looking at your longer health, then, you know, this could happen or this could happen. So I got a really good physio who was like, yeah, you can do this, don't do this, you know. So yeah, she gave me some great advice.
Yeah, and then you know you need to follow it, right? Because you can, you've been on the other side.
And that's the hardest, is like, right, okay, I need to set at least 10-15 minutes today to do this rehab. And but yeah, it's just making sure you're doing it and getting it done and just ticking off the box.
Mm-hmm. No, definitely. Well, I'm really pleased that, you know, we, as we say, kind of heading back to Madison, that you've managed to navigate that rehab, navigate the various stages of kind of the season to make that trip back. I asked there about how you've managed to kind of work through rehab. How did it change your, say, approach and enjoyment of competition itself? Recognize, like, they're all virtual qualifiers. So it's all about almost like going as hard as you can. But what did that kind of like the extra dimension of rehab put onto? Would you normally enjoy a virtual kind of online qualifier? Did it change the enjoyment?
No, it didn't change the enjoyment. I think I just had to be like the open. you know, sometimes you might push that little bit harder. And I was like, right, I just need to make the 10%. It doesn't matter where I finish on the leaderboard, just need to make the top 10%. So I was trying to think more logistics of, okay, what have I got to make in this section to not potentially make the injury worse?
And were there any, I'm just trying to think back to the kind of quarterfinals and the semifinals, like,
I know, so too many watts.
Yeah. Were there any there that really kind of like were you were worried that were a bit of a like a potential kryptonite?
Yeah, the deadlift and burpee one, you know, the ladder that went up and then came down. I was a bit concerned about that because sort of I hadn't jumped, and because it's like that twisting jumping, I was just thinking, oh no, just any small little movement. But I just had it strapped up just in case, so then my ankle obviously wouldn't roll over. I'm just trying to think of the other workouts because there's so many, wasn't there?
Well, yeah, and I'm getting I think I'm confusing myself here. There was a quarterfinals and a semifinals as well, if I remember correctly, right?
So yeah,
and you had six in the semifinals, and I guess probably six in the quarterfinals as well. So the most well-tested kind of all the divisions going, really.
Yeah.
So let's look at kind of like Madison. There's obviously a lot of athletes going again this year from the UK, which is fantastic. Like, it's the fourth time for you going. Like, how does that normally work? Kind of, I guess, logistically, you've obviously got kind of both family and professional commitments. Do you manage to make it kind of a family trip? Is it becoming an annual thing?
So we did do a family trip the first year because you always think I may not make it back again. So they came the first year, but we went out, we stayed like two extra days in Madison and then came home. I think once you've done Madison, there's not a massive amount to do, you know, it's not near a beach or anything like that. And then the following year we tagged on a holiday after, so we stayed in Madison and then we flew to a different part of America, and that was really nice because then we had some special family chill out time together. Last year they couldn't come because of COVID, and you could only take plus one. So that I know that they watched everything online and were messaging and everything, and then this year they were like, oh, we want to come back. And I was like, okay, we're dependent on cost. And because of the cost this year, it's just going to be, if we say unaffordable to take them. And it's like, even though it's an important, you know, every year is important, we go there, you know, we go to compete and have fun. I sort of said, you know, you guys have been before. If you come out, you're just going to be coming out for the game. So possibly 6 days.
Yeah.
Going to watch that, and we're not going to have any family time to chill out and spend time together because it will be like back from the workout. Yeah. We need to eat, sleep, up the next day. So we've decided that I'm going to go by myself, and then we'll have a family holiday hopefully later on in the year.
And like I say, the costs this year have gone through the roof, and a lot of athletes, and you know, we could spend a whole other podcast talking about professionalization of the sport, what that looks like, what it needs to be for every age group division. But recognizing, you've always had kind of a family around CrossFit, and if they can only be there for the 6 days, it's going to be difficult to have that family time and to save it for somewhere else, right?
And that's what we were like. We were like, because just the flights would have cost us £6,000.
Wow. Okay.
So we were like, no, let's put that, you know, as in you could have a 2 week holiday and actually spend some quality time and chilling.
It's not anywhere near the same level, but I've sometimes said to my wife's like, I want to go to Sid. Do you want to come along with me, bring the little one and the ear defenders? And it's like, well, actually I'll then just be torn between the two. I'll feel guilty for kind of focusing on actually just like watching and not doing that alongside it. So kind of same, but different.
Yeah.
But I guess one thing, you know, whilst you'll not be going with your family, there will be, like I say, there'll be a great host of like Netta going out as well, Kelly Marshall. Yeah. And so, you know, there'll be plenty of UK flags on the out on the competition floor and in the stands as well. You know, we've seen kind of Lucy Campbell and things like
Lucy Campbell,
that.
So yeah, loads.
That's really exciting. I do want to bring it, just to wrap up, I want to bring it back home actually to talk more about the kind of, you know, we've talked a bit about the Masters community. Jason Croxon, who I do PlateStack chat with, and he's putting out some great videos at the moment around the importance of the Masters community, because they often volunteer, they often also get involved in kind of like, obviously they compete, they might be running affiliates or coaching at affiliates. They're kind of like maybe sometimes the unspotlighted lifeblood. Like, do you think there's anything critical that, critical is not the right word, but what improvements would you love to see in terms of, say, that the balance between, say, the age group community and individual? And that's not as in to kind of complain. It's more like we've seen there's more age group athletes in the Open for the first time this year, I think. Yeah. So like, do you, what kind of changes do you hope to see over the next 5 years?
I'd love to see the numbers increase back, because I think when you've got 20, even 30, would, when you've only got 10, it's a very, very small number. If you have one bad ward, it's going to be really, really difficult to make that position back. And we saw that in the individuals, you know, when the year when they cut them right down day by day, when they had the
The national champions there.
That's it. That's the word I was looking for, national champions. Yeah. And they cut them down. And then by the end of, like, I don't know, the second to last day, there was only 10 of them or 15. And I think it makes a big difference, but also it gives more master athletes a chance to experience what the individuals have, because maybe CrossFit wasn't around when they were younger, and then they never got into it until, let's say, they were 40. And also what I would love to see is, instead of us having a online semi-final, is to us have some sort of in-person event. Because, you know, there's so many online, like you said, we have the Open, we have the quarters, we have the semis. So I felt a bit washed out by the end of it. I was like, not another one. And it was just like, oh, okay. And then they do the video checks, and then you know, you move so many places, because I wasn't always sat in first place. You know, after people's video checks, then it started shuffling around, and then I started moving up, and it's like, I think it would be great to see a in-person Masters event, and I don't know how they could do that, but the semi-finals would be great.
Yeah, and I mean, it would, from a logistics point of view, it would probably need to introduce some sort of regionality, because they couldn't really have a global semi-final and then the games, because the cost involved, as we've already discussed, would just be astronomical. But I think that could be viable when you consider now we're seeing more and more, say, individual athletes progressing to 35 to 39 division. Like, there's no, and as we get more people signing up to the Open, go with some sort of representation, and there's a whole wider topic on getting that representation right, but it's definitely possible. And I guess more of things like, you know, Sid having a Masters comp is great, but you want that pathway to the games as well to have that live experience.
Yeah, because even if they had, like, just say they invited top 10, you know, in the European side to Sid, and out of that top 10, only two went through, or so, do you know what I mean? Something like that, that they had a similar pathway as they do for the individuals.
No, that's awesome. And I guess where I'd like to finish, and we've talked so much about Masters and age groups, but in age groups, we do have teams as well. Like, so Erin is focusing on weightlifting, but you've done weightlifting. Are you still a weightlifting record holder in the?
I am.
Yeah. Excellent. I saw that in terms of like, kind of, I was looking on the International Weightlifting Federation. I was like, ah, okay, this was published in 2019. I don't know if it's still the current one, but that's a nice thing to kind of be able to kind of like, just like, oh yeah, by the way. So I mentioned teens there, like how, and I know CrossFit Southampton is the host of kind of the British Teens and British Masters Championships as well. So are you passionate then about kind of young individuals, boys and girls, having that access to kind of athletic, being aspired to be athletic, having access to kind of functional fitness, CrossFit, weightlifting, whatever that endeavor may be?
Yeah, I mean, I just think it just gives them a bit of grounding. You know, when they start training, and it's, you know, finding what they enjoy, whether they enjoy like the CrossFit side of things, their functional fitness, just having a little bit of fun with their friends, or finding like, oh, actually, I quite like weightlifting. I'm going to pursue that pathway for the time being, because I know I could always come back to CrossFit because it's their type thing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like when we hosted the British Masters last year, the year before that, I went to watch it in Brighton because it was held there. And it's great to see, you know, the young age going all the way up, and just people achieving things that they thought that wasn't possible.
Mm-hmm. No, 100%. And I think, like I say, it is always, as a methodology, it is always there. I played rugby when I was younger, but I felt like after a few years of being out of rugby, there's no way I was going to be able to get back into that without it hurting a lot. Now, admittedly, getting back into CrossFit might hurt a lot, right? Because mobility kind of, but definitely kind of cardio fitness kind of, but it is still accessible. Whereas I think like, and it's probably as sports go and training methodologies, it's probably one of the kind of most accessible, along with a few others. So now that's really cool. And it's lovely to kind of hear that, like, and I do need to try and get down to that at some point to see that broad spectrum of, you know, teenagers, young whippersnappers still bouncing, yes, and then age group athletes still bouncing as well.
Yeah.
Oh, brilliant. Oh, well, no, Kelly, it's been fantastic to talk to you. I want to round out by just saying the very best of luck with the trip to Madison and the experience on the competition floor. I guess actually what I should ask is how's the recap going? Are you still going in with let's see what we can do, or is it getting a little bit more serious?
No, do you know what? Every year, and my first year that I went to the games, I met someone in another box, a box owner over in America, just outside Madison. And he was a master's athlete he was in his last year of 40. And he sort of said to me, oh, look, I've never heard your name or anything like that, because we don't get to know many like English athletes. And he said, but can I just give you a bit of advice? And I was like, yeah, of course. And he said, just enjoy every minute. He said, I did my first games last year, he said, and the time ticked through so fast that before I knew it, we were at the end of the games. And I was like, oh, my God, I haven't even like soaked in what I'm here for or what I've achieved. And he said, and just remember, it doesn't matter where you've placed, you've got this far.
Mm-hmm.
So every year I've just thought, you know what, let's go try and do our best, but most of all just enjoy the experience, and hopefully do the UK proud.
Yeah. Oh, and I've no doubt, regardless of what happens, you will. You know, it's great to see you returning again, along with so many other athletes. And I hope anyone listening, regardless really of whatever competition it might be they're going to, right, whether it be the games or their local box throwdown, is they take that advice of like, try and do your best, but make sure you enjoy it as well.
Yeah.
So, because we are all typically doing it first and foremost for fun, right?
For fun, yeah.
Yeah, brilliant. Okay, it's been an absolute delight to speak to you. I've loved kind of like looking back through some of the previous seasons, but also, you know, getting excited for the season that's just coming to its peak in Madison. So the very best of luck with that. And thank you for all you definitely do in inspiring others, masters and otherwise, to kind of, you know, get into their local box or get competitive as well.
Brilliant. Thank you ever so much.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.